Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast presented by Geico. I am Daniel Dopp here on the couch with Mike Clay. Mike, we just got done doing the regular Fantasy Focus Podcast. How you doing? You still got enough stamina in you to do the CSS DFS?
I'm doing good. We're on video now?
We are on video now. How exciting is that?
That is fantastic. Kind of exciting. So a little more pressure now.
You will get clips.
Look good and sound good.
That's well, the look good. I've got the look good handled. So as long as you do the sound good, I think we'll be okay here.
That's, I mean, look, I can't argue with that. I can't, you know.
You hear all these right here? These are the notes I had for the season long podcast. I just threw them out.
Go clean that up right now.
I've got my DFS notes, and they are worth their weight in gold. You know why? Because Al Zeidenfeld, also joining us, gave us his picks for this week on this sheet. Al, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I was told to show up just to be the eye candy on the show.
Ooh,
Daniel.
Ooh, that's tough.
I mean, that was my role here.
You do have a blazer. You know what? With that blazer on, you look so nice. Can we put you in the big monitor behind us? Let's get your big head behind us with that blazer, because you just look too darn good to not show the people what you look like. I mean, wow. What a good looking lad. Salt and pepper in his beard and everything like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you guys are going out of your way to say you two look good. So
well, Mike, I'm just saying.
I'm getting the memo here.
You stop it. I love you.
Can I read
Mike,
my stats
you smell
now?
Very nice today.
Can I read my stats now?
Not yet. You can read your stats after we recap who won the Week 12 matchup.
No, we don't need to do that.
Well, that was me. I had a pretty good
finally,
week.
Geez.
It's about time. You know what? It is just like last year. Because like the beginning of the season, we were neck and neck. We had a bunch of back and forth, and then you just took off, and I was terrible. I was worried that was going to happen again, so I was glad to get a W here last.
Yeah, that was my worst point total of this season.
It was.
Week. I had a bad one. Felt okay about the lineup. I wasn't too comfortable with some of the punts. Honestly, the past 2 weeks, the lineup I gave on the show was much better than my actual lineup once I started tweaking for injuries and stuff, which is something we always have the discretion to do. But, you know, like putting Brian Hill in, total disaster. So
it's tough.
I had the fits to Parker stack good, but, Travis Kelce wasn't worth the coin last week. He was okay, but just a down week, but you'll have that along the way. So we'll get back on track this week.
You're still up 7-5, by the way. So you still got a two-game edge on me, which is not bad. A big shout out to Drahuzel, who took home our big winner, 233.58, 233 points.
A nice week.
Make sure that you join our free weekly contest on DraftKings. $200 in weekly prizes. I believe first place gets $25.
Yeah, and $0 to enter,
and
you get $25
to play. I mean, if you have ever thought about it, if you are listening to us for the first time and you're a season-long person and you're like, I want to dip my toe in the DFS water, our tournament is perfect for you because it costs no money. You can play against Mike and I, and the potential for you to win something is there. So, like, there's literally no reason for you not to.
Yeah, we don't tell people, like, on social or anything that exists. We only tell people watching or listening right now that it's free to enter and there's money. So hop on in and, you're basically just participating against other people who listen to the show, and it's just for fun. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, speaking of hopping on in, let's hop right on in with Mike. I can't believe we're going to do this.
Yeah.
But let's start.
This is what happens when you beat me in our DFS head-to-head. The whole first segment is anti-Lions.
Let's start talking about the Bears, because right now on DraftKings, it is just value city.
It is.
For all of these Bears. Mike, I'm going to step out of the way, and I'm going to let you and Al just kind of go back and forth talking about why there are so many values here and what kind of games you can play all of these Bears in.
Yeah, so for starters, the Lions defense is not good. And that's really what
starters.
For starters. That's everything. So two or more touchdowns allowed in every game this season. They're like 3.5 a game. That's second worst in the NFL. These teams played back in week one, and you may recall the Lions got off to a comfortable start, much like they did against Arizona to open up last season. And then it all fell apart, and they allowed 391 yards of offense to Mitch Trubisky and company in that game. So that's where we start. Mitch Trubisky, only 5,400, one of the cheapest quarterbacks in this slate. In that week one game, 242 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, also 26 rushing yards, which is obviously valuable. And look, 4 of his top 11 career games have come in his last 4 games against the Lions. Shout out to Kyle Soppy. That was a great pool. Very interesting that he's just beat up on that defense. He's been a top 10 fantasy quarterback in 2 of his 4 starts this season. So Mitch Trubisky, I think, is a terrific play at quarterback, especially in cash. Al, I don't know what you think about him in a tournament setting. What are your thoughts on Mitch here?
I like him as a stack this week because of all the reasons that you're about to mention, like guys like Darnell Mooney. He really mm-hmm. just funnels the ball to Allen Robinson, who's got big time 100-yard, 8-catch, 2-touchdown upside anytime he takes the field. So I do like Trubisky for tournaments because of how much he saves you, how simple it is to stack him. And I believe that David Montgomery is a very good play this week, which is going to lead you to get some leverage with those stacks against people who are playing David Montgomery, because you're unlikely to play a quarterback with his running back and a wide receiver, because like 0.7% of the time, those three, a pass catcher, quarterback, and running back, have scored 25 or more DraftKings points in the last 15 years in the same week. So yep. it's highly unlikely scenario that all three of them will be tournament viable. So everybody's going to be on David Montgomery. Leverage that with Trubisky to pass catcher stacks.
And I would just really quickly want to say Desmond Trufant headed to the IR. Mm-hmm. Jeff Okuda has struggled. Danny Shelton.
He's hurt too.
Yep. Danny Shelton and Trey Flowers. Not Trey Flowers. Yeah, Trey Flowers.
Trey Flowers is both on IR right now.
Yeah. Like, it's just that defense is it's not just that they're bad. They're decimated this week.
No question about it. They could be down three of their, top four or five corners this week, because Mike Ford is injured too. He would be one of the top relief guys. Okuda's still not practicing. Trufant and IR, you're exactly right. That's a great point, Al, because if I'm trying to set an optimal lineup, if you're setting your optimal lineup using ESPN projections this week, it's going to pop out with Trubisky and Montgomery most likely in your lineup, which is not a great situation. It's more you could deal with him more in a cash situation. You won't want to do that in a tournament. But he is my best value running back as well. So let's talk about him. He's 5,500. 21 running backs are priced higher. I mean, that just does not make sense based on what Montgomery has done since Tariq Cohen went on IR. In fact, if you look back at that week one game, in that one alone, Montgomery had 74 yards on 14 touches. Tariq Cohen had 47 yards on 9 touches. That's all, 140 yards combined. And Cohen's not only not a factor anymore, Montgomery has taken a lot of that workload. He's the number 14 fantasy scoring running back this season is Montgomery, despite missing a game. He's been top 26 in 7 of his past 9 outings. He's played over 80% of the snaps in every game since Tariq Cohen went on IR, every game that he's played, of course. And he's coming off his best game of the season, 143 yards and a touchdown in that last one. And, of course, playing the Lions' most fantasy points allowed and most touchdowns allowed to running backs this season and the second most scrimmage yards. So, again, who do you want from this group? So I like Trubisky. I like Montgomery. And really quick, just to touch on, to wrap this up and touch on kind of what Al was talking about, the other players in this offense are also good plays for the most part. Allen Robinson is 6,700. 12 wide receivers are priced higher. He had 74 yards in that week one game. You just talked about all the cornerbacks missing. Darnell Mooney is only 3,400 to Al's point. He's a top 12 player in air yards in 3 of his past 4 games. Anthony Miller had one of his best games, really, of his career in week one against this Lions defense. He has 6 or more targets in 4 straight games. He's only 3,100. And then how about this one? This is a major dart throw. I like this more in tournaments for sure, but I think if he can build a good lineup around it, a little foreshadowing. Cole Kmet is 2,500. He outsnapped Jimmy Graham 51-23 last week, ran 32 routes to Graham's 15. He has taken control of that number one job, and I don't know if people realize that really, right? Because the numbers haven't been there, but they're coming. I mean, if he keeps playing that much of a role and he's the pass-catching tight end, basically replacing Jimmy Graham, who was a borderline top 10, top 12 tight end most weeks, I mean, he could explode out of nowhere. And again, he's super cheap. So there are a lot of options in this Bears offense, and based on my recent track record in DFS, they're going to score 3 points.
Yeah,
there's no question about it. But again, I can't get over the value in this offense. All things serious.
Lions don't have a lot of speed in that secondary right now. Amani Arawarie, who I'd like a lot, but he's just not a burner. So like these guys over the top, when you look at the way that they could stretch the field, could absolutely be plays for those tournament stacks. All right, Mike, now that we've said all the things you wanted to say.
Can I leave now?
That's
my spiel for the show.
Next week, we're going to talk about why whoever's playing the Eagles is just a great play no matter what. Let's talk about some quarterbacks here. And we are actually going to talk about Aaron Rodgers, who is taking on the Eagles this week. When you look at what Philly has done, they're playing in their fourth city in 4 weeks. They've been on the road a ton. They aren't in sync seemingly anywhere on their football team. And now they get to try to slow down Aaron Rodgers, who has just been on fire since, I don't know, his bye week, basically.
Yeah.
So, $6,800. How do you not find a way to get Aaron Rodgers in your lineup at quarterback this week?
Yeah. What do you think, Al? That's your guy.
Oh, this is Al's guy. I forgot because we're talking about Mitchell Trubisky.
I'll host the show too.
That's my fault.
I'll do all the
I'm sorry, Al. Yeah.
You're flustered now. So.
I'm the trophy host. I'm just here to look good and smile.
I love trophy host. That is a great word for it. All right, Al. Then you talk to us about why he's so good against the hapless Eagles this week.
He's so good against basically everybody this year. This could be or end up being Aaron Rodgers' best year from an efficiency standpoint. He's completely off the charts. A lot of quarterbacks are this year as scoring is completely through the roof, and the efficiency is the reason for that. So 6,800 is not anywhere near enough to dissuade me. I think that he is viable to play in cash at his price if you can find the value. And I do believe that you can find the value this week if you don't. If you can't really stomach paying under 6K for a quarterback this week, it's fine to go up a little bit higher in cash if that's your way that you want to go. However, in tournaments, it's great to stack him. We have great options with him at wide receiver every week with Devontae Adams. He's thrown multiple touchdowns in every game this year except one against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which kind of looks like an outlier at this point for him. You can also pair him with MVS. You can pair him with Tonyan at tight end. Great play for tournaments and cash this week.
All right, let's talk about another high-priced quarterback. Obviously, Mike, you already talked about Mitchell Trubisky. If you want someone maybe on a lower level or a punt at quarterback that could just potentially have good value. But Justin Herbert, we've watched him be really, really good so far this season, taking on the Patriots. Only $6,900, so $100 more than Aaron Rodgers. But as a high-priced option, do you like him this week?
Yeah, he is my favorite of the higher-priced options. I think there's so many punt options or value options at quarterback. There's not a lot of the guys at the top stand out as super great values, but Justin Herbert is one of the exceptions here at 6,900, 20 or more fantasy points and 2+ touchdowns in 8 of 10 games. And then you look at the matchup, right? They're playing the Patriots. They have faced the fewest pass attempts in the NFL this season. Not really surprising because Cam Newton is just running the ball so much staying on the field, but they're allowing 8.3 yards per attempt. That is highest in the NFL. It's hard to believe, but it is the truth. Herbert's at home. We know it's a high-volume offense. I think he can overcome the fact that the Patriots haven't allowed many passing attempts. So I do like Herbert at that price point.
Okay. Two other guys whose values we liked, and it's very important to say we like their values. Yes. Carson Wentz at $5,500 taking on the Packers with just the option of they're going to have to throw. They're going to have to keep up. Obviously, they're hopefully getting Zach Ertz back will be great. We'd love to see that happen. And then Mike Glennon taking on the Vikings. Can you give me anything real quick on Mike Glennon as to why you like him? Because he's under a $5,000 price point.
Yeah, he looked okay last week, right? He has a pretty good supporting cast with assuming everyone's healthy and back around him. You know, Chark and obviously Chenault's back healthy last week. Maybe Chris Conley plays in this game. Keelan Cole, Tyler Eifert scored a touchdown last week. James Robinson in the backfield. So there's that. And also, they're playing Minnesota, who I think they'll trail. Glennon will have to throw the ball in this game. And the Vikings defense obviously has been inconsistent at best, really bad at worst this season. So I think both, again, at the price point, super cheap. You're going to save a lot of money there. There are options. Don't love them, but again, depends what you're doing with your lineup. Who else you want to get in there?
Yep, absolutely. Glennon more of a trophy quarterback for me this week than anything
trophy
else.
Trophy quarterback. Got it. Okay.
Do you own or rent your home? I'm sure you do. Sure you do, Mike. I'll bet it can be real hard work, too.
Yes, it is.
You know what's easy, though?
I'd like to know.
Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because it's already so much work to be a homeowner. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. All right, Mike. As we talked about earlier, David Montgomery is the running back that you wanted to touch on. We already went through that. So let's look at Al's play here. And Al, Austin Eckler came back and absolutely crushed it in his first week back. He has 20+ touches in all four of his healthy games this season. $7,100 taking on the Patriots. Is that a price point that you like Eckler at this week?
It is. I mean, and I do like that they just eased him back in last week with 25 touches. That was solid. So we're going to expect, 42 limited touches this week if he gets back up to ramping up to 100%?
Sounds good to me.
Like, I'm not expecting 16 targets, neither should you be. But if he just gets his usual 12 to 15 carries, 6 to 10 targets on a week, Austin Eckler is basically an 8K-plus wide receiver on DraftKings at full PPR. He has 20+ touches in all four of his healthy games this season. As we said, he had 16 targets, 11 catches last week. If game flow goes his way, he's going to score and score well as that offense will be moving. If they're behind, he's just going to get extra targets in the passing game, and every target that a running back gets in the passing game in full PPR is worth 2.7 carries. So hidden value for those high volume pass catching running backs.
Okay. Love that.
Yep, I agree. Fantastic value. He played 73% of the snaps in the game, to Al's point. 14 carries. The targets will come down a bit. But then again, I mean, look, you guys know how I feel about Kalen Ballage.
Yep.
He was a RB1 in this offense as the lead back before Austin Ekeler came back. And the efficiency for him was awful. Just awful efficiency as a rusher and a pass catcher when he was in there. And again, was still delivering in fantasy football. Now you have Austin Ekeler, who's a superstar in this league. And by the way, before Ekeler got hurt, he was RB6, right? So he was already very good. He actually had a quiet week one. Still was RB6 the first month of the season before he went down with that injury. And here's one more interesting thing on Ekeler. Think about his career, right? He's been around, what, 5 years now? Something like that, 4 or 5 years?
Sure.
Is this the best offense he's played in terms of passing production and scoring? I think so, right?
Probably.
Phillip Rivers, his offense has started to trail off a little.
And around like that time.
2.4 touchdowns a game, kind of in that range.
Yep.
This one's at like 3.2 since Herbert took over. So there's a chance for him to be a superstar in a fantasy down the stretch here. And his price point of 7,100, you can almost guarantee it's going to be much higher next week. Take advantage now while you can.
Okay. Let's talk about a couple of the running backs we have here. A lot of if-then statements that we're going to go through here because there's so many possibilities here. So I'm going to throw it out to you first, Mike. Josh Jacobs, $7,400. If he plays, do you like him at that price point?
I think he's okay. More so in tournaments for sure. The key here is, though, if he's out, of course.
If he's out, then we're looking at Devontae Booker, $5,500, taking on the Jets.
Yeah, exactly. So he'll handle a huge bulk of the volume. We broke that down at length in the first podcast today. $5,500. He's going to show up as a very good value because he's probably going to have 15 to 20 touches in this game against the Jets. And you know they're going to be able to run the ball. Most likely, he'll be the main back there.
Okay, let's break down the Texans backfield because both David Johnson and Duke Johnson are under that $6,000 price point. David Johnson, $5,400. Duke at $5,800. Do you like either of them against the Colts, who have a pretty good, you know, pretty decent run defense, but they've got some injuries there too.
And the key there is you did not superimpose those prices. Yes, David Johnson is $400 less than Duke Johnson. So if he plays, he is going to be probably a better value than Duke Johnson is if David Johnson is out. A lot of D Johnsons here, but you kind of get the point. If Johnson goes, pretty good value. I wouldn't say like 90th percentile value, but like 75th or 80th percentile. So he's an option for sure in cash. And again, if he's out, Duke is kind of what he's been the past few weeks. This is fine, you know, not a blow the doors off value, but again, a fine one.
Okay.
Playing the Colts too, tough matchup.
Yeah. So let's look at the other side of that game, as you talked about. Jonathan Taylor, $5,700. Naheem Hines, $5,300. And Jordan Wilkins, $4,200. Do any of those kind of give you some value that you really like there in that game?
Yeah, I think Taylor is a fine value at $5,700. Again, nothing spectacular, but he's fine. 20 touches the last time we saw him at one of his best games of his career, so he's fine. If he's out, that's where you start thinking about Naheem Hines and of course, Jordan Wilkins. Now, Hines is $1,100 more than Wilkins, and he's coming off a good game. Wilkins was beat up in that game, didn't do much. Maybe a pivot back that direction and be a little do a little different than what the public's going to do. So you have some options there if Taylor's out. If he plays, again, nobody really jumps off the page.
Okay. We talked to Stefania earlier in the other show about Miles Gaskin, $5,900. Yeah. Hopefully he's going to be back this week. If he is back, $5,900, good value for a guy that's going to get a pretty good workload, we're assuming.
Yeah, I think so. And again, what I talked about in that show was it's hard to know how they're going to utilize these guys. Is Gaskin going to be the 80% snap guy that he was earlier this season, or is he going to be limited in some capacity because these other guys have played well? But look, this is one where I can't just straight up tell you what to do because we don't know. If Gaskin's out and the other two guys play,
what is the point of you if you can't just straight up tell me what to do, Mike Clay?
I'm trying to tell you what to do. I'm trying to tell you that you wait until we know who's active for this game, then you make your decision based on who's healthy. Look, if Gaskin and Ahmed are out, Washington is a great play. He's only 4K. He's going to be a terrific value. We saw what he did last week.
Yep.
But it's just a matter of which one of these guys plays. If one of them's out, the other two probably have at least a little bit of value.
Can you tell me what to do with the Falcons running backs?
No.
Todd Gurley, $5,300. Brian Hill, $4,800. Ito Smith, $4,700. Obviously, the Saints, the last time they played them, it was a really tough game.
Yeah.
But these are all, I mean, sub 5,500 for one of these running backs that could have, you know, 15 to 20 touches feels like still decent value.
Yeah, if Gurley's back, I don't love him at 5,300. I just think he had better options there in similar price ranges, including David Johnson, who we talked mm-hmm. about before, maybe Devontae Booker if Jacobs is out. It's not a crazy low number. And again, he could score two touchdowns and pay off. So it's not, I don't hate it by any means, but I think you have better plays there. If he's out there, that's where it gets interesting. Brian Hill, disappointed last week. But Ito Smith is only $100 less. He is going to do more as a pass catcher, and you're not expect Brian Hill between the tackles to do a ton of damage against a really good Saints run defense. But maybe Ito Smith can catch a few passes and pay off a little bit. So again, if Gurley's out, that's when you really start to pay attention to this backfield and cash.
Okay, a couple of the guys we think are good values: Dalvin Cook taking on the Jaguars. Basically, just roll Dalvin Cook out every week if you want to. James Robinson taking on the Vikings. The other side of that game, sort of the same conversation. He's just really good.
Yep.
Chris Carson against the Giants and Aaron Jones against the Eagles. All of them, we like their values this week. All right, talking about some wide receivers here. And Mike, Robert Woods, for some unknown reason to me, is $5,900 on DraftKings. A sub $6,000 wide receiver in Robert Woods taking on the Cardinals. This seems like a guy that you've got to try to find a way to get him into your lineup.
Yeah, look, and I don't want to be accused of being lazy, right? Like, okay. This was my guy last week, too.
It was.
And I tried to talk myself out of it when I was studying these guys. And I'm like, I don't want to just do the same analysis 2 weeks in a row and the same player. But I'd be doing a bad job if I wasn't telling you the best value on the board. And it is Robert Woods. He's $5,900 against this Cardinals team. He's 17th in pricing. It's only up 100 from last week. He was already a great value last week. He had another good game. It's only up $100. He has 7 weekly finishes of 26th or better. He has 25 targets in his past 2 games. He has 5 touchdowns in his past 7 games. His target share is massive right now in this offense. And he's playing the Cardinals, who he may draw Patrick Peterson. Again, we talked about this in the first show.
Yep.
But the Cardinals are allowing the second most fantasy points to wide receivers over the past 8 weeks. And for the season, they've allowed the 5th most catches and 7th most touchdowns to the wide receiver position. And again, last year, talked about this before in the other show, 172 yards on 13 catches in the first game against Arizona, 67 yards and a touchdown and 7 catches at a total of 28 targets in those 2 games. Woods, just, he's too cheap. He should not be under 6K.
Should not be under 6K. I totally agree with you there. Another guy that I think maybe is a little bit too cheap, Brandon Cooks, $5,600. Al, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this price came out before the Will Fuller suspension, which is why it's so low, but a guy that seemingly has to be in your lineups.
Basically, every pass catcher on Houston was priced before the Fuller suspension. So with Fuller there, we know that we have kind of safe volume. We know that he's had 4 games with multiple deep receptions this season, as well as Indy allowing opponents to complete the 7th highest percentage on deep passes at 51.4%. So you have big splash ability, you have big game ability, and you also have the fact that for his career, Cooks averages 19 DraftKings points per game when he's getting at least 8 targets. So we have a good floor, a really cheap price based on the volume that he's got. So he was around, what, like 24, 25% of the target market share before, and Fuller was just behind him. You've got to assume nobody's going to pick up 100% of Will Fuller's work. But I would be remiss to think that Brandon Cooks was going to go from averaging like 7 targets a game to probably getting 8 or 9 targets a game. So he is in that value range right now for me and has big tournament upside. I think he's going to be very popular in week 13.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike, on that point, like talking about these Texan wide receivers, I just kind of want to open it up and talk about, without Will Fuller, how does this team look from a pass catcher perspective?
Yeah, not great.
Great.
They have some problems for sure. I mean, Will Fuller is handling 22% of the targets and 30% of the air yards. That is a lot that they have to distribute elsewhere. And Al's exactly right. I mean, Brandon Cooks has never been really a, you know, 32-33% target guy like a Hopkins or a Thomas or an Adams. He hasn't been that guy, and I doubt that will change at this point in his career. So the target should go up a little bit, but not by a massive margin. So who's next up? Kiki QT. Now, he's the guy that presents himself as the best value here. He's only $3,500 this week. That price point will go up in future weeks, most likely, unless this week's a total dud. But again, this is a guy who they haven't really liked, right? He came out strong as a rookie, looked like maybe a future budding star in the slot. He's been a healthy scratch for many, many weeks since that point. So they don't seem to like him, but now he's forced into the number two job. He's going to have to play a lot. He's going to have to handle a lot of targets at least this week. So at $3,500, worth a shot. Then you have Steven Mitchell, who this is the situation Houston's in. He's not in the slate this week, so we can't even talk about him. He's not even in the slate. He's probably next up. He'll be the number three here. He only played 8 snaps last week. And then they have Isaiah Coulter. He's a fifth-round rookie. He'll probably get some work. But again, he played behind Mitchell last week, so I don't feel great about him if he's the four. Jordan Akins at tight end is only 2,900. He should see a little bit of an uptick in work for this team, but you know, not a guy that I'm going crazy for by any means. He's been so inconsistent this season.
Yeah. Well, shoot. I was hoping you were going to tell me that they were all going to be really good and that we could play them all this week.
Well, they're great values. Like this week, QT at 35 and Akins at 29 are fine. You know, if you're in a tournament and you want to take a shot on Coulter, fine. You know, go for it. But in cash, again, QT is, I think, probably your best play. Maybe Akins. But again, I'm not going nuts here. I'm not trying to force them into a cash. Like some weeks you have guys where it's like you can't not play.
You can't not. Yeah.
In a situation like this where a star player goes out, I don't think that's the case here.
Well, speaking of guys you can't not have in your lineup, Al, I feel like Davante Adams is one of these wide receivers where, like, regardless of what his price point is, he just continues to produce in a way that you can find a reason to be able to make sure he gets in your lineup every week.
Yeah, and especially in tournaments. I don't know that you have to force him into a cash game on it because his price is a bit restrictive at 9K, right? So he's not going to pop in Mike's projections on a point per dollar basis or any projections that you're using. But massive 100-yard, 2-touchdown upside with 8-plus catches anytime he takes the field. If you're using him as your primary stack with Aaron Rodgers, a double stack using him in Tonyan or MVS, or if you're using him as a secondary stack without the quarterback, you want to find ways to get Davante Adams into your lineup because he can straight up break a slate when you're playing tournaments, especially if you expect him to be on the lower end of the percentage scale, right? If only like 5-10% of people are going to play him this weekend, that's exactly when you want to get on board, because if he does have a 30-plus point DraftKings day, everybody who just avoided him because his price was a bit restrictive allows you to climb up those leaderboards. And that's how you make the most money, is by getting more of your lineups into the top 1% of the field.
That's what I'm not doing correctly. I just need to have more lineups in the top 1%.
Why don't you do that?
Yeah.
Just build a lineup that has more points than everyone else's lineup, and you will win all of the money. Why don't you do that?
Just score more points, forehead.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for waiting until week 13 to let me know that that's what we're supposed to be doing.
It'd be funny if you win like a ton this week.
I know, right? How great would that be?
It'd be awesome.
All right. A couple others that we want to talk about here really quickly. Obviously, already touched on Kiki Cutie. We talked about Darnell Mooney off the top as far as if you like him in tournament games as a pump play. Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins, Mike, taking on the Vikings. It's value here. That's what you're looking at, is value when you're talking about those two guys.
Very cheap.
Cooper Kupp, the opposite of Robert Woods here, taking on Arizona. Denzel Mims, a guy we seemingly mention every week as an end-of-the-roster guy, definitely has some upside. And Julio Jones, if Julio Jones plays, he's got a good value here against the Saints this week. All right, let's move along to tight ends, where Darren Waller, taking on the New York Football Jets. Only $6,100, and that feels too low for me for a tight end that's this good, taking on a defense that seems to be pretty bad, Mike.
Yeah, and it's crazy because even Darren Waller has been inconsistent this season, right? So there's just the thing is, even an inconsistent Darren Waller is really good because tight end has been so bad.
So bad.
So bad. So $6,100 at the Jets. I've been projected for 3 more points than any other tight end in this slate. He's the number 2 tight end in targets, catches, receiving yards, and fantasy points this season. He has 5 touchdowns already. He had 3 all of last season, so he's been helping out in that department, which is nice. And look, the Jets have allowed the 6 most fantasy points to both receivers and tight ends this season. They've allowed 9 touchdowns to tight ends. It's most in the NFL. And I point out the wide receiver part because, you know, he lines up all over the place, right?
Yeah.
He's basically, you know, at times he's a de facto wide receiver. So it's a very good matchup. $6,100 isn't going to crush you by any means. So, yeah, I like him.
Okay. All right, Al, let's talk about Robert Tonyan. Shout out to Keith Lipscomb because making sure we get the Tonyan right. Everyone's saying it wrong. Everyone's saying Tonyan. It's Tonyan. Get it?
Tonyan.
Got it.
Get used to it. You got it?
I got it.
All right, cool.
So Tonyan.
All right. Al, I will come over this couch. Al, Robert Tonyan, really cheap this week. Talk to us. Is this one of those situations where you like him specifically with a Rodgers stack, or is this somebody that you could play independently of Rodgers based on the value that he's got?
I think that he's a fine standalone play, or obviously you can play him with Rodgers. He's clearly tied to him. If he has a big day, Rodgers probably also having a big day. But he's fine as a standalone in cash. I think that he's also fine as a standalone or a secondary stack in tournament if you just need a little bit of salary relief. Tonyan has a 20-plus yard catch in 6 games this year, which is somewhat unique for the tight end position, and also something that I look at in terms of underlying stats that tend to lead towards performance. Mike mentioned it with Komet the non-copyright frog earlier. I'm going to talk about it with Tunyon here in terms of targets per routes run, right? I want to know routes run per dropback for the quarterback and then how many times they're being targeted when they run routes. So his past four games, 6.3%, then 16%, 17.9%, and 23.8%. So his role in this offense in terms of how many times he's actually getting the ball thrown to him when he's out in the route is great. 5-6 targets, I'm not expecting very much more. I think he's about 500 underpriced on DraftKings, fine as a standalone, great in tournaments. And I think that Mike's still reeling from the Komet, the non-copyright.
I missed all the analysis. Like, what?
I didn't listen to anything you just said. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Is that just a thing, or is that your thing?
It's a long-standing joke in my community.
Okay. That's good. That's the first time I've heard that
Me
one.
Me too. I like it.
That's funny. That is really funny.
That was really good.
Oh, man.
Not just a trophy host today, Al. You're really bringing some zingers, too.
And a company man, too.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. Yeah,
so that's perfect.
Right. I love it.
Or a non-company man, since the non-copyright infringing.
Oh, I'm just trying to not get sued, Mike.
Yeah. So let's talk about a couple of other guys
here.
That's good stuff. Eagles tight ends, Mike. Listen. On any year that's not 2020, Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz feel like they would just be at the top of all of these, you know, price points. But here we are. And both of them are, I think, potential options. But I'm curious if you think they're good enough values this week to play against the Packers.
Yeah, and I'm basically going to repeat what I said in the earlier podcast, right? They played two games together this season, these two tight ends. That was weeks 1 and 2. They both played over 85% of the snaps. They both saw more than 7 targets in those two games. And look, Goddard has been the more productive fantasy tight end so far this season, but he's 4,300. Zach Ertz is 3,900. So again, they're a lot cheaper. Think about what we just said with Darren Waller. He was 6,100. These guys are, you know, way below that at 43 and 39. So it's a tough matchup, yes, against the Packers. Ertz coming back could bring Goddard's targets down a little bit, and I think they will. That's why he doesn't stand out as a super great value, but I think both are at least good values. Both of them are options.
Okay. A couple of other options that we like. Hunter Henry taking on the New England Patriots and Logan Thomas taking on the Steelers. That's a tough Steelers defense, but Logan Thomas has actually looked pretty good for that Washington football team when, you know, they need a little bit of help in that passing game.
He's been much better with Alex Smith back, no doubt.
Absolutely. All right, we are at that time of the show that everybody waits for, the time for me to give you guys a lineup that's going to beat Mike Clay's. I will let Mike go first, seeing as how he lost this last week. Mike, whenever you are...
Is that like when the Broncos tweet out like a graphic of all the ESPN NFL pickers getting there wrong and they're like, they never learn, and then like they're 4-6 or whatever?
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Is that like that?
Maybe that's what it is.
The lineup that's going to win. Mm-hmm. You're talking smack because you finally won a game.
I've finally won 5 games.
Yeah, I mean, you're 5-7. You're not even going to make the playoffs. You're not even bowl eligible.
I am 5-7 because somebody punctured my quarterback's lung before a game started and I couldn't replace him. And I lost by less than 2 points. So I still think there's an asterisk on that. However, I will take 5-7. It's no big deal.
If you look at it on the bright side, you'd be winning the NFC East.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
You're in first place right now. You're a playoff team.
That's true. But I'd be winning most divisions or many divisions.
Oh, nobody cares about your division. Just give us your lineup.
All right, here we go. This is the lineup you want to listen to.
All right.
Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. Again, I'd love to work Mitch Trubisky in, but I'm going to go with David Montgomery at running back. So I was able to fit Rodgers into my lineup. Got Montgomery, got Austin Ekeler, and Dalvin Cook. So I love that trifecta at running back. Obviously, one of those guys in the flex. Tyler Boyd, Brandon Cooks, and Robert Woods, a wide receiver. So again, feeling great about that situation. So where did I punt, right? Because you got to punt somewhere
to get all
of those good players in those slots. And this is a fun one. And again, I'm not sure if I'm going to stand by this come Sunday morning, depending on injuries and how things work. But I have Cole Kmet in there right now at only 2,500. Again, he catches one touchdown. I'm good to go at 2,500. That's going to pay off in a huge way. And again, it allows me to load up at every other position. I don't have another punt other than perhaps defense, which is Atlanta playing against Taysom Hill. He's made some mistakes. And if Atlanta, who's playing a little better, can keep this close, he throws a pick. This could work at 2,400. So I like this setup really because going with Kmet allowed me to really load up at the other positions.
Yeah, it feels like without Kmet, there's no way you would have been able to get Dalvin Cook and Austin Ekeler. Plus, you've got that high volume, really cheap David Montgomery. I actually really like your lineup this week.
Thanks.
I would like to say mean things about it, but
that's not good.
Which means it's not going to do well.
Yeah, definitely.
That's how it always works. All right, here's my lineup for this week. I'm going to go with Deshaun Watson at quarterback. Deshaun Watson, $7,500. My running backs are Austin Eckler and David Montgomery. You see what we did there. My wide receivers, David Montgomery, and I'm actually running with Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, and Kiki Cutie as my flex, with Robert Tonyan as my tight end, and the Jets at $2,100. A couple notes that I actually want to talk about you guys with. Cooks and Cutie's prices were so low that in spite of the fact that we understand that they have not been out there a ton, it just feels like the volume that they should see on Sunday outweighed what their price point was. However, there is actually, you know, definitely a question mark of if playing both of these is too much in spite of how low their price is. So I just kind of want to throw that out to you guys as far as a strategy question.
Yeah, I mean, just really quick, this feels like a tournament lineup, right? Because if they struggle against the Colts, which is a very real possibility, the Colts we know have a terrific defense. He should be healthier this week. And if they show up coming off that down game and Watson struggles and, you know, they have Xavier Rhodes on Cooks quite a bit and QT doesn't get the volume, we think you're in trouble. But then again, if they go off, nobody else is going to have those stacks in cash most likely, and you're going to have a huge day. So it doesn't feel like you're playing me. It feels like you're playing to win the whole league this week.
When I looked at your lineup, I realized how big I had to go here. And I think I said this wrong. I think I said David Montgomery. Devontae Adams is my top wide receiver there, in case I said that wrong. So I don't know. I'm going to tweak this. Now that I've seen your lineup, Mike, I might tweak this. Because like this Aaron Rodgers, you know, this Aaron Rodgers setup, I noticed that you don't go with stacks all the time when you're looking at stuff.
Not
necessarily in cash games.
Right. And I like to. I feel a little bit better about the upside if I have like one of the pass catchers. Like, for example, if I had Trubisky in there and having Robinson, that would make me feel good about it. But you don't have to do it in cash. You just have to hit a certain number. You got to load up with values and go from there.
So that's where I got to a point where I was looking at that wide receiver, and for $3,500, $3,700, it was either QT or one of the Bears wide receivers. And I just felt like QT's volume and floor was potentially higher. But I'm totally with you. This is a lineup. And just to be totally transparent, just like Mike said, like we tweak these based on injuries or news and stuff like that comes out. So, but this is where I'm going to start with my lineup, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, and Al, I'd love your comments on that. What do you think about the stacks in the tournament, in the cash setting?
Okay, so in a cash game, you just want to stuff in as much points per dollar value as you can get. Floor is way more important, right? You don't need to score 225 points to win a cash game. You just need like maybe 140, 150 points makes you profitable in your head-to-heads and 50-50s. More weeks than it doesn't. So if you can get to 150 points, great. So you don't need to have high correlation in cash. You just need to get the best, as many of the best players with high floor and high ceiling combinations in there as you possibly can. So stacks or stacking or secondary stacks, like I always talk about with my tournament lineup segment, not as important in cash.
Okay.
It's more about like, okay, so in tournaments, like your lineup is like you're thinking you're putting all of your eggs in one basket with Watson and Kuti and Cooks, for all the danger reasons that Mike said. But like in a tournament, you're trying to literally win all of the eggs. So it's okay to do that. In a cash game, you just want floor.
Okay.
There you go.
Speaking of tournament lineups, Al, every week you give us your tournament lineup. Let us know where you're at this week, because we're all anxiously waiting to find out which lineup is actually the best lineup. It's probably going to be yours.
So I copy-pasted mine into the sheet, and it's very similar to yours. Do you want me to give a different one?
No, give it to me.
All right, well, I've got Deshaun Watson at quarterback. I've got David Montgomery and Austin Eckler. Good high floor plus high ceiling running backs this week. I've stacked Watson with Brandon Cooks. I'm bringing it back in that stack, meaning picking a player from the opposing team, with Michael Pittman Jr., who has been outstanding recently in terms of his target share and his touchdown scoring based on his red zone targets, end zone targets, everything like that. I also have in this lineup to come back, or sorry, I have Robert Tonyan at tight end. I have Robert Woods because of the value. And I have Adam Thielen at flex. And I could, if I wanted to correlate this a little bit better with a secondary stack, I would go with changing out Eckler to Robinson. I have the Falcons defense in there against New Orleans. Their second time seeing the Taysom Hill offense. And I think that they're going to improve only at 2,400.
There you go.
Okay. Not bad. Normally, we give a showdown lineup for the Thursday night game. Obviously, Mike, this week, no Thursday night football with all of the craziness that has happened in the NFL. So I think that's it. We done with our Week 13 podcast?
That is it, Daniel Dopp. Great hosting job.
Hey, thanks, man. I teed you up for that.
Yeah, you did. You did. I mean, you're struggling out of the end here. We should just like cut it off.
Right? You just want to be done with everything. Guys, thank you so much for listening to us again. You've got literally 2 hours of Daniel and Mike Clay.
That's too much.
Thankfully, Stefania and Al bailed us both out in each of the two podcasts. So, Al, thank you so much for being here. Like always, we do this every Thursday. If you're out of your season-long playoffs, come hang out with us free. Free DFS. Why am I blanking on the word?
It is kind of a tournament, really. Yeah,
sure.
A lot of money's at the top. But yeah, you can come in. It's a contest. You compete against us. So we'll be
in there.
Costs
nothing, and you can win money, and it's just a ton of fun. So
you're just nailing it. You're coming. You're finishing up strong here, man. Let's stop. Let's go get some lunch.
Love you so much. All I'm going to say is I love you so much. You're one of my best friends. Al, thank you so much for being here, man. We love you guys.
Thanks, Al.
Don't forget to love each other. We will see you guys next week, and good luck in week 13.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.